like the listening to the soundtrack of your life. That song, there's so many inappropriate things that I've done to the tune of that song. So great, so fantastic. Brings me right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Drive Through HR, and this is indeed William Tin Cup, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host and friend, Crystal Miller, and we have a wonderful guest for you today. So it's going to be a fantastic show. And we're just going to get right to it because, you know, why waste any of our precious time? Danielle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I also like that Tupac song. But I must admit, I'm from the East Coast, so I'm much more of a Biggie fan. So,
yeah.
So next time I come on, it would be awesome if you guys could play Juicy instead.
Fair statement. East Coast, West Coast. There's still a rift between these two. I don't know why we can't. Where's the Dirty South? Where are the people in Memphis? Where do they fit into that? I don't know. It's very confusing. Let's get right to it. If you could do us a favor, and the audience a favor, actually introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. My name is Danielle Weinblass. I am the CEO and co-founder of an organization called Take the Interview. Take the Interview has committed itself to helping many organizations improve their interview process, utilizing different types of products and software. Namely, we have a great video platform, great assessment platform, and ultimately we've been trying to drive better outcomes by helping organizations become better at interviewing, leveraging technology.
Do y'all go by TTI at all, or do you go by the full name Take the Interview?
No, we go by TTI. I think people use it interchangeably, and sometimes they even refer to the outcome of the product as TTIs. So when they're reviewing interviews and they're sharing interviews, they will say, yeah, did you get a chance to review that TTI? Or I'm going to TTI that candidate. So it's become not just our company's name, but it's also become the name of our product as well as a verb. So it's been kind of cool.
It's like the Uber for anything, right? Like, doesn't Uber, we don't ever say we're going to take an Uber. We say we're going to Uber. So you're not going to video interview. You're going to TTI.
Exactly. You got it, Crystal.
Very well. If folks haven't followed the category, y'all have been one of the kind of the pioneers in that category. Break that category down because ATSs have been around for 40 years. Time and attendance has been around for 40 years. Video interviewing, it's been around for, you know, 6-ish years. What's going on in the category right now for you?
Yeah, I think there's some really interesting things going on. And there's definitely been some stratification in this category. You continue to see organizations pop up that only cater to small businesses, which I think is great. I think there are some companies that just need to facilitate video interviews, and they don't need the management. They don't need the analytics. They don't need the collaboration tools. They don't need a lot of the workflow and the customer success that goes along with it. So you definitely have those small business players. You've also started to see some niche players or more internationally focused players pop up, which is also great because, expecting to serve everybody's needs, particularly in every single geography, I think, you know, it can be a bit cumbersome. And then you have, I would say for the enterprise, you have really two classes of players. So you have those that shout at the top of the mountains, we are just video interviewing and that's all we do and, you know, that's great. And then there are players out there that have expanded their seat and they are more than just video-based interviewing. They provide assessments and reviews and coding examinations and analytics and just better workflows for companies to interview better. And they cater to the enterprise. And we definitely fit more into the latter versus the former. We are not just video-based interviewing. We provide a multitude of products and suites and have larger aspirations, but that's how I would define the space. And, you know, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. It's just that different companies have different needs, and that's why companies have thrived.
So, Danielle, Crystal popping in here, I mean, it sounds to me like when you talk about what you're doing, you're discussing sort of an ecosystem of solutions that you're providing to your HR customers. How do you know what you need and what you don't? Because I could see for the small player it might be easy to get overwhelmed, but for the enterprise player, too, that are spending all day long talking to all of these different vendors,
yeah.
How do you know what you need and what you don't?
Yeah, that's a great question. And a lot of companies need different things based on their pain points. I think you first have to start, it's a little bit of a chicken and the egg. I think you have to start with a perspective and you have to start with a focus. And so for us, we only play in the interview process and optimizing every step of the interview. So we don't get involved in sourcing and we don't get involved in the onboarding process. So that's number one. And so anything that goes outside of the actual interview, we're not touching. So that's number one. And then the second piece of it is having a perspective on the tools that we will build and the tools that we won't, based on what we fundamentally believe as a company are the building blocks of an optimal interview process. And so we've spoken with thousands of talent acquisition professionals, hundreds of leaders in this space. We've worked with hundreds of leaders. And so we've really narrowed it down to four key attributes that we believe drive an optimal interview experience. The first is collaboration, and that's a better experience and relationship between the manager and the recruiter. The second is standardization, and that's more structure. So structuring better questions, structuring assessment criteria, having the appropriate parameters for that interview process. The third piece is transparency, and that's really about transparency to candidates about where they are in the entire interview process. And the last piece is around data-driven decisions, so really understanding why do we make certain decisions. It's not around predictive analytics. I know some companies out there are doing more, like this candidate, based on what they say or based on how they perform, would do well within our organization. That's not the type of analytics that we're tracking or that we care about. We care more about process optimization. So we want to know, why did you make that decision? Why did you ultimately choose that candidate based on the experience during that interview? So it's more measurement of offline outcomes that are now being moved online. And so based on that framework, based on only focusing on the interview, we then have conversations with clients about the problems that they're having. And then we decide, we sit down in a prioritization meeting. Crystal, William, you've both met, you know, our team and our exec team. So we sit down in a room and we start to discuss based on the clients that we have and based on what we're hearing in the marketplace and what we're learning, what are the top priority items based on the resources that we have internally. And then we either promote it to the top of our product roadmap or it gets moved into the backlog. And so that's how we decide what to build and what not to build.
So, okay, that's an excellent framework. Thank you for laying that out. When you talk about pain points and issues that are top of mind for your clients right now, like, what are some of those issues?
Yeah, so one of the ones that's come up a lot has really been around diversity and expanding the candidate pool and really figuring out ways to validate diverse outcomes. And so we've had several conversations with organizations around this. You know, one in particular, we worked with them on a program specifically around military recruitment. And so one of the things, of course, that, you know, keeps me up at night and that I've been focused on is, you know, I'm a technology company. I run this organization in order to facilitate better outcomes for organizations in the interview process. You know, sometimes technology can be incredibly beneficial, because it can enable you to screen more candidates faster. It can enable you to really understand the data, to make better decisions about who you interview, why you interview, to structure interviews. But then also inherently, sometimes with technology, you may be in certain circumstances based on the role, eliminating opportunities for certain candidates based on their access to that technology. So there always are limitations you need to consider. You need to think about how can I help companies do better if this is their objective, but how do I make sure that my technology is pervasive enough and that I give more and more people the opportunity to access this technology so that I'm not inherently eliminating people from the process that would have otherwise gotten a chance to interview. So those are some of the things that I've been thinking about and some of the things that we've been working on to make sure that candidates have a great experience and companies are having more opportunity to interview diverse candidates.
This is fascinating to me. Topically, it's just, you know, you've kind of touched on something that's, it's not a hot button, but it's really, you know, everyone might not be able to do video interviews. Okay, so if you're really thinking about this candidate pool, well, you know, thinking about them and then wanting the outcomes that you want, and not just like flow and the numbers, but you want to have a rich experience, you got to think about meeting them where they are. Let me get back to the technology real quick. Do y'all kind of primarily work on canned, kind of one way, or is it two way? Is it both? How is the technology delivered so that the audience has some context?
Yeah, it's both. And then we also facilitate the options to do non-video-based interviews as well. So you you can do text. You have the option to use just audio. So you can almost do it's almost like a phone interview, but you still have the ability to structure that interview, so review questions. As an interviewer, you can still apply your assessment. You can still record. So it really doesn't matter the medium by which you interview. You could do phone. You could do voice. You could do video. You could do text-based assessments, both for on-demand and live. The whole point is that everything is still enabling you to record, have that collaboration element, apply a structured assessment, review the structured questions. And we offer both products. For both iOS as well as Android. So there are mobile capabilities for recruiters, managers, and candidates, which is also part of the accessibility conversation, too.
Well, I noticed on the – oh, go ahead, Carissa.
Oh,
go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I just kind of jumped in over you. But I noticed on the mobile piece, when you think about diversity and how – there might be some sort of socioeconomic impact and the importance of mobile with that. I'm like, I guess I'm now not structuring this question very well, but I wonder if, I mean, have your clients or do you notice that the ability to provide mobile video technology in the interview process, if that helps kind of minimize some of potential disparate impact?
Totally does. And that's a really good point. It really allows you to be more accessible. I mean, anytime you're offering a solution on multiple platforms with various options for candidates, whether that's text, that's video, that's audio, that's other types of assessment on really any device, you're reaching a wider range of people. So it definitely helps with the disparate impact piece. You know, I think the one key here, though, is that it's definitely the technology. It's definitely, you know, being able to give people the accessibility. But one thing you need to consider also when you're thinking about diversity is how do I provide that great candidate experience with the right type of content as well so that anybody from any type of level of technical aptitude can still get through this interview process in the easiest and best way possible. So it's not just the technology. It's also the product marketing. It's also the usability. It's the support resources that you provide. It's a holistic augmented product that you need to think about when you're thinking about diverse candidates, not just whether you offer mobile or web app.
Nice. So when you consult, y'all have some fantastic clients. And so when you consult, I mean, you're a software company, but you're helping them kind of navigate these waters. Do you find yourself, if they don't bring diversity or veterans up in a conversation, do you find yourself asking them, hey, the candidate pool, would you like to do this? Would you like to do that? And if so, I'd like to know how veterans, like, how they use the technology. Where are they as a candidate pool? What are you seeing when you look at kind of veteran recruitment?
Yes, it's a great question. So the first piece is not every single company has a big push for a diverse candidate population. And so you first need to understand, just like consulting, and both, you know, both of you do consulting all the time and work with large organizations as well. So, you know that you start first with what are we trying to accomplish, what are the business objectives, what are the main goals for this organization, and then we drill that down into specifically what do we need to improve with the talent acquisition process. Not every company's objective is to improve diversity. I think it's the larger organizations, the ones that have the resources, the ones where a certain pool of candidates may make more sense, given the type of work that they're doing. So, in certain circumstances, you have companies maybe more in like logistics or manufacturing where they tend to have a bigger push for veteran recruitment than other companies would. I think it should always be top of mind, thinking about how do we get in different types of candidates, but specifically military recruitment can be very specific to a company's business objectives. We will bring it up if it makes sense. And there are certain things that you need to consider for this demographic and certain reasons why organizations would want to use particularly video-based interviewing or different types of digital-based interviewing to recruit vets. I would say the biggest reason and the one that I talk about the most is the difficulty of taking a military resume and really converting it into a civilian resume, and the hiring managers that are civilians who have difficulty understanding how someone's prior experience in the military would resonate with the job rec at hand. So that's where video is very helpful, particularly from an on-demand perspective, being able to have a vet get on, use the on-demand solution, or even our live solution with the recording capabilities, answer questions about teamwork, how they overcame obstacles, how their leadership experience would translate from whatever they were doing and what their MOS was previously to what it could potentially be in this existing role and what skills are needed. I think that's a really enormous opportunity for managers to jump on the interview, jump on the candidate and be like, wow, that guy really, really would be a great fit here. Or I get it. I understand why his experience makes sense for this type of role. And you just don't get that when you're looking at a resume and trying to translate it. So I think that's one of the ways in which I've seen it being used. I don't know if you guys have questions on that.
So this is Crystal again. I guess I could stop saying this is Crystal since William's a totally different gender. But on that, I mean, anyway, so one of the things that I hear you talking about is you do help educate hiring managers and companies where that's needed. If they consult to be able to put together a process that allows for that kind of efficacy and utilization of your tools. But to do that, that's an experience, right? So I'm making a very messy segue into the fact that I know that you're actually hiring for a customer experience and customer success kind of person.
Yes, I am a director. Tell everybody.
why don't you tell everybody? Take a minute and tell them what you're looking for and what background they need to have. I mean, are you looking for a former practitioner or a current practitioner that wants to move into the HR tech market, or are you looking for someone who's been there, done that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So particularly for the director-level role, we are looking for someone who's led a customer success team before And the only reason, I mean, it would be a perfect, perfect marriage if this person had been a practitioner or has experience recruiting and definitely inside of a company that would be a company similar to one we would work with. Obviously, that would be phenomenal. But it sounds a bit like a purple squirrel. I think the prerequisite specifically for the director of customer success role is really around someone who has had experience leading a team of customer success managers before. It's a very, very important role that needs to be very driven by the analytics that our organizations are seeing. So someone who has a consulting background or has done customer success in a previous role would be preferred. And obviously great managerial / leadership experience would be ideal. For our customer success managers, however, we tend to hire people who have been former recruiters. So we are much more, call it, flexible in terms of the CSMs who we would hire under this person. You know, we do believe that this is an industry that someone needs to be passionate about. So any director-level person we bring on board, obviously they have to have a desire to streamline and improve interviewing processes and really love the talent acquisition industry. But it is more important that they have experience leading a team of consultants or CSMs versus just hiring a CSM, who we would ideally like to have a practitioner background. Does that make sense?
Oh, it totally makes sense. And you know what? It's kind of... it's a new concept, or at least newer in the last decade-ish, because, you know, you want someone that's not quite salesy, you know, not quite project management. You need somebody that's someone that actually is a kind of a client advocate. They're really trying to look at the data, explain it to them, make sure they're using the functionality, and making sure they're having a good time. Like, software shouldn't be boring. We shouldn't hate it. We should love it, use it, and learn from it, and all this other stuff. But let me ask, let me go backwards to in your ecosystem. So you work with a lot of different players. You work with assessments and skills testing and ATSs and onboarding, and you're integrated into a much larger process because y'all have kind of focused on best of breed in one part of the recruiting process. What are the pressures that you see from your clients about kind of integrating all of that all the way up to onboarding, if you will, but like taking that and making it more or less integrated? What do you see there?
Yeah. What I've seen is that while most organizations put a great deal of emphasis on integration and having a suite, you do find that more and more companies just want to use the best-in-class products, whether they integrate or they don't integrate. So, and obviously this depends on the size of organization. Obviously, the larger the organization, the greater the emphasis on integration of all the pieces. But a product like ours, I expected there to be a greater emphasis or a greater push towards ATS integration and overall ecosystem integration. It actually hasn't been as strong as I had originally assumed. And so while we do integrate with great companies like Greenhouse, like iSIMS, like Conexa, we are not seeing that this is a prerequisite to kicking off with these companies. And so it's been a little bit different than what I anticipated. Now, I see the benefit of integration. I don't think that a company, particularly one that's trying to leverage a system like ours, track all the data, improve their workflows, I don't think it's optimal to be switching inside and outside of systems all of the time. I would prefer to have a wonderful team of integration with every single organization that we work with, and we can facilitate that. We have a whole team that's dedicated to doing this. it's optimal that way. But what we do find with some of the ways in which ATSs have enabled companies like mine and companies like assessment providers, background screening companies, the workflow and the integration sometimes is not as optimal and not as good a user experience as it should be. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword in some respects. It's like if you don't integrate, then you have to switch inside and outside of systems, which isn't great, but you get the benefit of having an awesome user experience when you're working with a best-in-class service provider, systems provider like our company, but you still have to log into a separate system, or you do the integration, which we've done, and you don't get that awesome workflow, that awesome user experience. So it's like you have to figure out which is the lesser of the two evils. And I just wish it didn't work that way. I wish we were able to have amazing integrated experiences inside of the ATS so that every organization would have a wonderful, wonderful interconnected user experience. And I just don't understand why our industry hasn't facilitated that to date. It boggles my mind. But... you know, I guess that's something we'll have to work on going forward.
What's the saying? It's a journey or something like that. I don't know. I don't even know what the saying is. There's probably no excuse for why we don't already have it, but it is a journey and it will take a little while. We've got about 3 minutes left. So let people know how they can reach you, because if I were wanting to know more about this topic, if I were wanting to know how to improve the efficacy of my interviewing programs, you would definitely be someone I would want to talk to, and where you're going to be next.
Sure. So anyone can reach me at any time at dweinblatt@taketheinterview.com, or you can tweet at dweinblatt. You can ask me any question you want, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn and message me there. So happy to answer any and all questions. As you guys know, I'm an open book. I'll give you whatever answer to whatever question you ask me. So I'm happy to be helpful where I can be, and would love to hear from people.
Awesome. So where are you going to be next? Are you going to SHRM? Well, someone from the TTI.
I'm trying to send Ty right now. I'm trying to get Ty to go. He's very popular. I must admit, I think Ty Abernethy is way more popular TTIer than I am. So I'd love for him to go to SHRM in my place. I'm actually heading to San Francisco that week. So I'm kicking off with a couple of great companies that we're working with in the San Francisco area. And then I have a wedding in Napa. So that's where I'll be during SHRM. But I think given Ty's popularity, I think we should get him to go. So maybe you guys can put social pressure on him and tweet at Ty Abernethy, or email ty@taketheinterview.com and tell him that he needs to be at SHRM.
And if you do tweet him, folks, make sure to add the hashtag TTIRock so that they can get a little social love there, too. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Danielle. For everybody listening, tomorrow we have Gary Kushner on the show, and Robin Schooling will be guest hosting.
I'm jealous. I think they're fantastic. You guys get to talk to them tomorrow. That's a lucky day. So I'll tune in tomorrow to hear them. Great.
Well, thank you, and you've been a great guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
have
Danielle.
A good day, guys.
Cafe Sancho.
we got to go now.